From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's meet another guest of honor.
All right, it's actor Britt Marling. She first attracted some attention when two movies she co-wrote and starred in premiered at Sundance in the same year. Those films, Sound of My Voice and Another Earth, were widely acclaimed by critics, and they both explored metaphysical themes.
As does her latest project, the Netflix drama The OA. In it, Britt plays Prairie, a blind woman who goes missing for years, then reappears with her sight restored, harboring secrets. Mm. The multi-layered story also involves a mad scientist and near-death experiences.
Wow.
Britt co-wrote the show with her writing partner, Zsolbat Manglić. He also directs it. The two met in college, and when we met, I asked Britt why they didn't just do something easy, like make a show about their lives.
You know, it's funny that you should bring that up, the idea of telling a story of just like two people who meet at Georgetown and come out west and try to figure out how to become storytellers, because Zsol's mom is often like, why don't you guys tell that story? That's an interesting story. I guess maybe we're both daydreamers, you know? It's sort of the things that stir your imagination are the strange juxtapositions, like looking at near-death experiences and all that that inspires, which is so grand, and such big cosmic questions about life and death and what's the nature of reality. And then juxtaposing that with a small Midwestern town and the, you know, the more mundane crises of teenage boys coming of age. And somehow those juxtapositions feel more exciting. It feels like something new can come out of that, maybe.
When you decided to embark on this idea, I read you did a lot of research on high schools and in the Midwest, but also on near-death experiences. Your character, Prairie, undergoes one early in the series. Was her story based on some of the real-life stories you read about or people you chatted with?
You know, I think we took from all those stories that we'd read about in like Raymond Moody's book Life After Life or Sam Parnia's research was the idea that it was this realm of science in which it's all largely actually based on storytelling and just first person accounts of what they experienced. It's very hard to actually measure anything outside of the fact that somebody flatlines and then suddenly returns. And I think it was the details of convergence. Like, everybody talks about a light at the end of the tunnel. Everyone talks about leaving the body and having this bird's eye point of view and the feeling of sort of pain and shame and everything falling away and a kind of transcendent, you know, state of bliss. And then maybe facing the choice of whether or not to return to the body. And so it felt like we could take these maybe hallmark moments of this experience and then feel free to sort of in true science fiction fashion, use them as a springboard into our own storytelling.
This show is, I've been describing it to someone as like, it's capital D drama. Mm. There are moments where I had to look away. I had to hit pause, go like make a cup of tea, come back because I was feeling my heart beat fast because moments were too tense. And does it take a toll on you when you're acting, just having to operate at such an intense level for hours on end?
Definitely. I'm so glad to hear that you did that because I felt like I had to do that a lot on set. Like, we would just do a take of a scene and it would be so intense and so overwhelming that I was just like, I've got to go find a tea and like a chocolate something at craft services because it's hard to... it was a really tough shoot. It was a long shoot, and we used to look at the calendar for the days ahead and look for the light day where we could all just catch our breath, and there was just never a light day.
So, yeah, you also wrote this. Were you surprised to find that there wasn't any lightness in it?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think maybe sometimes part of the story goes into dark places in order to ultimately touch something light. You know, it's kind of that description of the dark that's like the dazzling dark. And once you get through there, you, by juxtaposition, you can see something brighter or lighter than you maybe would have been able to see before. But in terms of performing, that was really hard. You know, I mean, at one point on set, I broke my nose wrestling with the dog, you know, in chapter one.
Yeah,
I insisted on doing that myself, which was maybe rather silly. And I had a flu on top of that. And so all the scenes we did in the attic, I had a broken nose and had a flu, and I would just like do a monologue, and then I would like kind of turn around and just like, this is maybe too much for radio. I would literally just turn around, and my nose would just like drip into a bucket, and then I would like do another take. And that, when you're in set life, it feels like you've gone to war together, so it's all extreme and it all feels okay. But then once you are at the end of that experience, you really look back and you're like, how did we survive that?
You know? You're like, Zal, next time sitcom. Sitcom.
Half hour, one camera, comedy.
My mother died in childbirth. It was just my father and I in a big, lonely house. I suffered from things then. Dreams. They had smells in them and sounds that were sharper than life. In one of them, I'm trapped in an aquarium, and I can't breathe. I can't get out.
So we were talking about how intense it was to play this character, but you created her. You know, you wrote the tension into the script. How can that not be interpreted as some sort of masochism?
You know, that might be an okay interpretation, honestly. I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is, I think when we're writing, we really have to divorce ourselves from the fact that I'm going to play the part. Because if you did, you wouldn't set up so many challenges for yourself. Or you might, you know, you've got to be true to the story and let the story tell itself and only face the fact that you're going to play that part at the end. Otherwise, your vanity or who knows what else might sneak in there and muck it up. But I think for me, I've always been attracted to acting because it's a kind of extreme emotional anthropology. It's like a license to explore many lives inside your life. And I find that it makes me feel more connected to people. Like I, you know,
more
after
empathetic.
More empathetic and a better listener, I think.
It's interesting. There may come a point in your acting career where you'll become a horrible listener because you'll be so successful and you'll have so many people around you.
My God.
That you're just not, you're not going to have to listen to anyone.
No, anymore. Never. That's that. I mean, I'd sooner go give this all up and become like, I'm interested in like the coral reefs right now. So I would just go take some scuba diving classes and go spend some time studying the reefs before they disappear, before I'd let that happen.
All right. Well, before you move to the beach, I need to ask you our show's two standard questions. And the first one is, what question are you tired of being asked?
Oh, wow. I guess one that's sort of funny is when people are like, what is the seed of the story? And I wish that there was an answer to that. Like, I wish you could go back in time and look and find the one thing that was it. But I can never locate that thing. Like, I feel like it's more like a storm that happens and you start. So I struggle to answer that question.
Yeah. You could maybe hire a restaurant marketing firm. Doesn't it strike you now that all restaurants have that story?
Yeah, they totally do.
One day I was just in the kitchen and I decided, oh, I got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And that's how these sandwiches were born.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, no way, dude. You were a banker and you had a concept.
Yeah. And you hired a bunch of people and then you rolled it out. And yeah, I should definitely find somebody. Maybe someone listening will reach out. Maybe somebody.
Submit. Brit's origin story for the OA.
Please.
Right now.
We want to know.
All right, our second question is a request, which is tell us something we don't know. And this can be an interesting fact about you that you haven't shared in interviews before, or kind of an interesting piece of trivia about the world.
That's so
lovely. I just watched this whole show. I know your head is filled with trivia that most people don't know.
Oh my gosh. What? What's something about me that maybe nobody knows? Maybe something that people don't know, I don't know if they know or not, is that I'm like a real tomboy. Like my favorite thing to do is to climb trees. Like that's...
And there's the tree climbing scene in chapter one of the OA.
Oh my God. I didn't even think of that. That wasn't in the script. That was improvised. Zal was just like, that tree looks good. Get in it.
It was in the larger script, Britt. That we're all living under. Britt Marling, her new Netflix show is called The OA. And Rico, I kind of feel bad that she lives in LA now because palm trees are really difficult to climb.
Oh, no.
There are no low branches for her.
Also, cactuses would be a problem.
That's right. Their branches are too pointy and short.
It's a terrible time for her. Folks, we interviewed Britt a few years back about her movie Another Earth. If you want to hear that, head to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. There you will find all our past episodes for the price of free.